Thanks for joining us for today's Word of Hope from First Christian Church in Burlington, Iowa. In this broadcast, you will hear songs and hymns of praise, a children's moment from our youth pastor, Justin Livingston, the pastoral prayer for the day from our associate pastor, Brooke Anthony, and a message from me, senior pastor, Dave Yonker, that I hope will fill your spirit and give you hope. You are always welcome to join us for worship in our sanctuary on Sunday mornings at 8:30 and 10 a.m. and in our parking lot for our drive-in service at 11:30 a.m. here at 1221 Park Avenue in Burlington. For more information, check us out at burlingtondoc.org. You are invited to grow in faith and share God's love through First Christian Church in Burlington. Good morning. We welcome you to First Christian Church. We're so glad that you've chosen to worship here with us today. It's great to see you all inside of our sanctuary this morning. We welcome our many friends who are joining us on Facebook Live or through our church website. It is good to be a body of Christ and a community of faith here. And so we hope and pray that this time that we set aside for worship will fill us and bless us and renew us in our own journey of faith together. As we have gathered for worship, we welcome you, especially if this is your first time inside of our sanctuary. We hope that worship fills your spirit and soul. We invite you to stop by our main welcome center following our worship service today. We have a gift for you as being our guest. We hope that you will receive it and then join us for worship next Sunday morning as well. We welcome our friends who are joining us online for the very first time. And so a little note about our worship service. We have communion every single time that we get together for church. And so we invite you to have ready there at your house the elements of communion that you will need. And so if it's bread and juice and grapes and crackers, anything is good as we celebrate communion as a body of Christ later on in our worship service. For our friends inside of our church, we trust that you picked up one of our little all-in-one communion kits. We'll need those for communion later on in our worship service. We also invite you to note that on the right-hand side of your worship bulletin is our little tear-off sheet that says connect, and so we ask that you tear it off now and connect with us. Let us know that you're with us in church today. On the back side, you can jot down prayer concerns or joys that you may have, or you can tick one of those boxes if you'd like to know more information about getting involved in the life and work and ministry of our church. And after you fill it out, you can drop it in the offering plates that are located outside our main sanctuary doors following our worship service together. It is a great day to be together here as a body of Christ. And so lots of things happening in the life of our church. On the very back of your bulletin, you'll see some things that are happening. We're looking forward to Vacation Bible School starting tonight from 6 to 8. It goes tonight through Thursday evening. And so our leaders have been planning for a number of months getting ready for that. And we have a team of folks ready to come into the church after this service is over and decorate the sanctuary and some of our classrooms and fellowship hall. And so it should be a great time for Vacation Bible School. And so if there's a young person in your life who'd like to be a part of that, we hope they'll come back tonight and every night until Thursday for a great week of VBS. We're looking forward to that so much. Today's also the last day. We've been collecting backpacks and monetary donations for the kids and families at the Midtown Gardens neighborhood. And so we're so thankful to everybody who has been bringing those over the past few weeks. And so today's the last day for that. And we certainly give thanks and praise to God for those wonderful gifts and donations. One more little note that there's a big crop of tomatoes. You may not know that we have a little kind of secret tomato garden back behind our garages here on the east side of our church property. And so there's a big crop that are located on the bench outside the church doors on the left hand side. There are still 6 boxes of 7 pounds of tomatoes that aren't spoken for. So if you've got a hankering for BLTs or pico de gallo or something today for lunch, you can certainly pick one up as you leave after worship today. Or if you'd like a box for next week, certainly give us a call, and we'd be happy to share some of our bounty with you all here from our church grounds. It is good to be together. It is good to be a body of Christ. And so we invite you to stand up and say good morning to the folks around you. You can wave hello to our friends online by waving to the camera up over my head.
Shall we pray? Most holy God, we await the touch of your Spirit with eagerness this morning. We ask that you receive us with our hungers, along with the praise and joys we bring. And by your hands multiply the gifts we hold, that all who hunger may be fed. Through Jesus Christ our Lord we pray. Amen. As you're finding your seats, we invite the kids to join me for this morning's children's moment. Well, good morning. How are we doing today? Morning, enthusiastic. Yes. Well, I am glad that you guys are all here this morning. But before we get started, can I see all your guys' hands? Can you guys put your hands out like this? Let me just look at them. Let me take a good look at them. Jane, can I see yours? All right. Looks like you guys all have pretty clean hands, don't you? Except yours? Well, it is very important that we all have clean hands, especially in today's world. It's very important to have clean hands. How do people keep their hands clean? How do we keep our hands clean? We wash them, right? We wash them with soap and water, right? Anything else that we can do to keep our hands clean? Yeah, we wash them. Jack, did you have something? Use hand sanitizer? Yeah, I brought a bottle of it here up here with me. Some people, they put gloves on if they know that they're going to do work that's going to get their hands dirty. And how many of you guys have moms that maybe have some wipes in their purse? Does moms carry wipes in their purse? Yeah. Lots of ways that we can keep our hands clean, and it's important. Well, today's Bible story is about hands and clean, okay? The Pharisees came up to Jesus one day, and these Pharisees, they're a group of people, and they're really bossy, and they're really bossy about the rules. And so they came up to Jesus one day, and they said, Jesus, we've noticed that some of your disciples didn't wash their hands before they ate lunch. And we were wondering, why are these disciples not following our traditions? And Jesus says, you guys are a bunch of phonies. And he called all the people that were standing around him over to where Jesus was. And Jesus says this. He goes, all of you guys, listen. It is not the stuff that you put in your mouth that makes you unclean. It's the bad words that come out of your mouth. He says, out of your hearts come evil thoughts, greed, cheating, and envy. This is what makes you unclean. And so the Pharisees, they were more concerned about us having clean hands than they were about us having clean hearts. Okay? But are we any different than those Pharisees are way back then? Because we work really hard to keep our hands clean, but do we always work hard to keep out evil thoughts out of our hearts? Do we always watch what we read in our magazines and books? Are we careful what we watch on TV and on movies? And do we watch the kind of language that comes out of our mouths? Do we always say kind words, or sometimes do we say harmful words to people? So that's what it means to have, yeah, we should always say kind things, right? And so it's important that we always have clean hands, but Jesus teaches us this morning that it's even more important that we have a clean heart. And we do that by making sure that we say nice things to people always. All right? You guys have a great and safe week. Let's pray. Father, we know it's important to have clean hands. Forgive us when we don't work as hard to keep our hearts clean as well. We ask that you create in us clean hearts to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's kids shout it out.
Amen. As we gather in for prayer today, we know that we all come with concerns and joys and so much that we wish to tell God in our prayer time. Today, we especially lift up the Bachtel family. Daryl Bachtel, who's one of our members here, lost his mother this week, Velma Bachtel, and so we keep their whole family in our prayers as we know that we will miss Velma here in our church as well. So we keep them in our prayers as we go to God. Let us pray. Eternal God, we pray that you would help us to center ourselves as we pray. Take our minds from all that would distract us. Take from us our fears. Take from us our apprehension about the tomorrow that lies ahead and the other tomorrows beyond that. Take from us our resentments and our anger. Take from us all that is negative and destructive. Instead, may we be bathed by your love, which will not let us go. We bring to you our gratitude for our many mercies that you have given us so freely and generously. You give us life and you give us each day. We confess that we often take some of those days for granted. Help us to affirm and use and appreciate each day as a gift to us. You provide so graciously for us. We thank you that we live in a land filled with opportunities for growth and happiness. We can hardly believe it when we stop to count the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and we pray that you would help us to always give you thanks for the many ways you care for us. Give us the will to share our gifts in order to impact our world and to make it a better place. Use this church and expand the ministry of each of us. When we are tempted to falter, give us courage and a greater vision. Give us the courage to be your faithful and hope-filled people. Oh God, we reach out to you to uplift us and give us strength to continue through this pandemic. As the disease continues to spread and pick up speed and more people are affected, we pray for the health and safety of the people in your world. Remind us to care for our brothers and sisters and to think of the needs of others. Give us strength and continue through this challenging time that has lasted so very long. We pray for our world and for all of its people and leaders. We pray that there would be an increasing unity throughout the world and that all leaders of all nations would work for peace and justice of all of Earth's citizens. We pray for the needs of our community, specifically lifting to you the issues and concerns that weigh on us this morning. We pray for those in fragile health. We pray for healing and strength and health. And most of all, we pray for your will to be done. We pray for those who grieve. And especially today, we pray for the Bachtel family. We are thankful for the time that Velma worshiped with us, and we pray your blessing on her. Be with her family as they face their new separation from her. Heal and comfort all who mourn. We also give to you the financial concerns that often challenge us. Help us to find solutions when we struggle. We ask for your forgiveness when we have allowed our prayer life to be a bit selfish, thinking mainly of our own personal needs. Help us to see outside of ourselves and to recognize challenges in others' lives. Help us to see the ways that we can serve and help others. Help us to be brothers and sisters in Christ. We give thanks today that Christ came and walked this earth, showing many followers the way. We pray that we would follow in his way. We pray all of our prayers in his name, and we lift to you the prayer that he taught his disciples praying. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. This morning, as we begin a new sermon series, we begin our reading from Ephesians chapter 4, and we will continue through Ephesians for the next several weeks. Ephesians chapter 4, beginning with verse 1. Paul wrote, "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of us was given grace according to the measure of Christ's gifts. Therefore, it is said, when he ascended on high, he made captivity itself a captive. He gave gifts to his people. When it says he ascended, what does it mean but that he had also descended into the lower parts of the earth? He who descended is the same one who ascended far above all the heavens, so that he might fill all things. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children, tossed to and fro and blown about by every word of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love. We must grow in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth in building itself up in love. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I apologize if you have heard a loud noise. I hope you haven't had to close your windows, shut the blinds, and call the police. I hope the sounds coming from our house have not reached your house because it's been bad. Maybe you even had your own scary sounds coming from your house. You see, in and amongst all the happiness and joy that has been coming from our television, as we've been watching the Olympics 24/7, all the gold medals and star-spangled banners and national anthems, all the wonderful, heart-wrenching stories of people overcoming all kinds of obstacles to reach their final destination, in amongst all of this have come these awful, awful commercials. Maybe you've seen them. It's not like a new drug commercial or like a new movie or like a new cell phone commercial or like the same commercials that we've seen so many thousands of times. We know them all by heart now. I'm talking about something worse than this. On our television, at least, there have been these back to school commercials. They are the worst kind of commercials. For the two kids who live in our house, these commercials have come on the television, and in the words of the Bible, the Bible sometimes says that the things happen, and when it, there comes great weeping and gnashing of teeth. It has been like that at our house, weeping and gnashing of teeth. Our deepest apologies if the cries from our house have reached your house and caused you to call the police and close the blinds and lock the doors. But this is where we are. This is the weeping and gnashing of teeth time for our kids. It's August the 1st. The summer has flown by. We have like just under a month left to go. And so there's still time for barbecues and vacations and swimming in the pool and picnics. There is still time left, but it's drawing close. And so in our very own eyes, our kids and our grandkids and the kids here who are part of our church family are growing up. Each year in school, we know that we hope and trust that our students are learning all kinds of new things, expanding their mind with all kinds of new knowledge, new wisdom, and all kinds of new learnings, that they are growing up in our midst. We hope and we trade and we see this is the case. And so it is in our lives of faith. We know that we want our lives of faith to be just like this. We don't ever want to stop our learning. We always want to be growing and deepening our faith in Jesus Christ. And so here today we're starting a new sermon series called Growing Up. The Apostle Paul uses this language of growing up to talk about what it means to deepen our faith. He says we want to grow up into Christ. We may start out small, he says. We may almost be like having a kindergarten type of faith whenever we are first young, but we want to keep on growing, following Christ more, sensing the Holy Spirit more in our life, feeling the presence of God's love on a more regular basis. We never want to stop our growing. And so during these back to school shopping kind of days, over this next month, that's what we're going to be about as a church family together. Growing up into Christ will be our focus together. So to help us with this, the model for us over the next month is going to be the back half of the book of Ephesians, actually from chapter 4 all the way to the end. And in this section, the writer of Ephesians, Paul the Apostle, lays out the implications about what it means to live the Christian life, what kind of fruit a Christian bears, what it means to grow up in God's love. And so it's what we're going to be about over the next few weeks together. And so we start out today with this fantastic passage. We heard it a moment ago. Now, if you worship here on any regular basis, if you watch us online on any kind of regular basis, then you know that usually when it comes to the sermon time, we usually like highlight one verse or one theme or like one phrase and like use that to draw our lesson for our life each week. But today is your lucky day. Today, because this passage is so good, we're actually going to walk through this whole entire passage together. Not to bombard you with too much Bible, but I'm going to go ahead and bombard you with too much Bible here this morning. This passage is loaded with goodness. And so you can follow along on the screen. You can open like the Blue Pew Bible there in front of you. You can open up a Bible app if you want to like Ephesians 4. But I'm going to do my best not to put you to sleep if you can stay with me. Are you still with me so far? I mean, are y'all still here? All right. I hope everybody at home hasn't flipped to the Olympics already. I hope you're still online with us at home. But so this is what the passage is about. In Ephesians 4, verse 4, talks about the Christian life. It says there is one body, there is one spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling, one Lord, one baptism, one God and Father of all who is above all, and through all and in all. Now we see this passage and we look at the world around us and we realize that these don't always match up. Because we have our work self and our home self and we have our church self. We have sometimes our parental hat and we have our grandparent hat. We have who we are after work and we have who we are even when we are by ourselves, all by our lonesome. We have different roles that we play in our community, and we have lots of different hats and plates that we have to wear and keep spinning at all times. And because we are in Iowa, and if you have an Iowa phone number, you know there are folks calling us all the time wanting to know our opinion. Where do we stand on every single event? Even when there isn't an election coming, people still want us to divide up into some kind of group or box. And so we live divided lives every single day. But Ephesians 4 says that we are one body together. We are one people together. And so all the ways that we usually divide ourselves, Paul says, don't work. We didn't earn this unity. We didn't achieve it. This unity is a gift from God. We are one people together. You and me and the people sitting in the opposite side of the sanctuary and the folks online, the people at work, that you don't really care for, the people who are going super slow for like a school zone, all kinds of people, we are one in Christ together. That's what verses 4 to 6 say. Verses 11 and 12 build upon this because it says what it means to live the Christian life is that we have different roles to play in being united. The writer writes down some of his favorites. He says some of us are called to be apostles and some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, some teachers. He puts down the ones that like get the most public kind of notice, but he leaves out other important ones. He leaves off the list that some of us are called to be single moms with three kids. Some of us are called to be custodians and factory workers and public school teachers and hospital employees and sales folks. And bakers and cooks at restaurants. We have different gifts and different roles to play, but we all work for the same kingdom of God. And we don't just equip ourselves with these gifts for our own benefit, but it says we equip ourselves for the ministry of God's people, for the benefit of all of humanity as Christians together. The writer goes on a little farther. He says in verse 15 that because of this, because we have these gifts, we are called at times to speak the truth in love, to grow up in our faith, not being tossed around by every new idea, but to work on our faith so strongly that it comes out of our mouth, that we speak it and we live it. We know at times we're called to kind of keep our thoughts to ourselves. Sometimes it is very good that we keep our thoughts to ourselves. But there comes a time when we have to have the difficult conversations. We have to share a word of love that needs to be shared in difficult spots. And Paul says, there comes a time, and so we speak words of love and gentleness, words of hope and peace. Through it all, he says in verse 16, we are knit together by every single ligament with every single gift, that all of us have a role to play as we are knit and stitched together. A few years ago, my family was at the General Assembly of the Christian Church Disciples of Christ. This like big, huge, like 4,000 people gathering from all over the U.S. and Canada and kind of all over the world. This like this great time of worship and workshops and this kind of massive, big revival of a huge event. And the cool things, the many cool things that happened there is that there were youth from all over the place there worshiping. And while they were there, some of them even did some mission projects. And one of their projects was to take regular old plastic sacks that people had donated. Like, we know these plastic sacks because we have bags of them living in our garages, like bags from Walmart and Target and like Hy-Vee. And so they took each one of these bags and they wove them together to make a sleeping mat for homeless and needy folks living in the big city where we had gathered. They said that it takes between 500 and 700 bags crocheted to make one single mat. And so over like the whole time that we were there, they made 13 mats for folks, which doesn't seem like that much, but that took over 9,000 bags woven together. I mean, just think about how many trips that is to Walmart and getting bags of this and bags of that, bringing it home and then donating them all together and weaving them and stitching them. I remember after the event, some of the youth were saying that they were walking down the street and they noticed some homeless folks kind of living in between two buildings in this old dark and dirty alley. So when they walked down the road, they saw those folks living there. They went back inside the convention center and they grabbed a couple of the mats that had been made out of a few thousand bags. And they gave them to the folks right there in the city. See, what this means is that no matter who we are, our lives make a difference. The plastic sack that we buy groceries, if you're a teacher, is combined with the plastic sack that the single dad brings home, combined with the plastic sack from the factory worker and the homeless guy in his cart on the street. We are all knit together as the body of Christ. And what this means is that as we live the Christian life, we get to lead a life worthy of the calling to which God places on our heart. You take your gifts and I take my gifts and the people that we don't even know, and we get to change the world for God. We get to tell others about what God is doing and how God changes our lives together. Amen.